Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. Did you catch the verse in that little intro we have, 2 John verse 9, that says that if we don't abide in the doctrine, the teaching of Christ, we don't have God? We have all these people, preachers, teaching different things. If they're teaching different things, they can't all be abiding in the teaching of Christ. Many of them are not abiding in the teaching of Christ, therefore they don't have God. They say they're preachers, people say they're Christians, but they're not abiding in the teaching of Christ, therefore they do not have God, according to God's Word, 2 John verse 9. And if we don't have God, certainly we're not going to be saved. A lot of people are going to be surprised on the judgment day. We see that, in Matthew 7 verse 21. It says, not everyone that saith in me, Lord, Lord, shall enter to the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many people are going to say on the judgment day, Lord, Lord, we called you Lord. They were religious, but they did not abide in the teaching of Christ. They did not do the will of the Father which is in heaven. Therefore, they won't go to heaven. They don't have God. Therefore, they won't be saved. That's why we emphasize on this program doctrinal purity. We must have the right doctrine, the doctrine of Christ, the doctrine taught by the Bible. Last week, we talked about heaven. This week, until we get our first call, I thought we'd talk about its counterpart, everlasting punishment. I take that term from Matthew 25, verse 46. Jesus says there, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. You know, some people who claim to be Christians don't believe in everlasting punishment. They don't. They say, if that's the way God is, I don't want to have a God like that. You see, people are trying to decide what God is like based upon what they want God to be like instead of the way He is according to His Word, the Scriptures. This verse says there is such a thing as everlasting punishment, and it's going to last as long as eternal life lasts. So, Christians are expecting to go to heaven and live in paradise in heaven forever and ever with God. Well, for that exact same length of time, eternity, the wicked will burn in torment and everlasting punishment. Yes, the Bible talks about this place over and over and over again, and it actually exists. And we need to live our lives and serve the Lord with that in mind. Tonight I'd like to talk about three things about everlasting punishment. Number one, who is going to be there? Number two, what will it be like there? And number three, how long will it last? If you have a Bible question, any Bible topic is fair game. Call us at 877-655-6755. That's 877-655-6755. Any Bible question, comment, we're just be grateful for the call. I'd love for you to call in. Everlasting punishment. Who's going to be there? Well, you know, one of the reasons this is important, we think about when we move into a town somewhere, we try to find a house on the good side of town. We don't want to be in a bad neighborhood. Think about everlasting punishment. What kind of neighborhood that's going to be? Psalms 9 verse 17 says, the wicked are going to be there. Isaiah 33:14 says, the sinners and hypocrites are going to be there. Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14 reads, enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be in which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And so many are going to find this way of destruction, everlasting punishment. Only a very few are going to be saved. Matthew 13, 41 and 42 says, them which do iniquity are going to be in this terrible place, this bad place, everlasting punishment. Matthew 25, verse 30 says the unprofitable servant will be there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9 says, them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of Jesus. So we got to not only know God, believe in God, we got to obey the gospel to avoid going to everlasting punishment. Revelation 21, verse 8 says, the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and fornicators and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. That tells you who's going to be there. And that's important to know, because if we don't want to go there, and I can't see how anybody would even think about wanting to go there. If we don't want to go there, we must not act in this way. We must not be a murderer, a fornicator, an adulterer, a liar, because those people are going to go there. Jessica from Kentucky, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
I was listening to the radio station, and I just kind of was a little bit, you know, we talk sometimes about one thing.
Jessica, you must be, I'm losing you. Are you calling on a cell phone?
I sure am. Can you hear me now?
I can. Make it quick before you go out again.
Okay, I just want to know about once saved, always saved. Because you can murder somebody, obviously you know not to murder again. But what about lying? That's something that people do. You know, it's a part of everybody's life is lying. So if you're saved and you've repented and you've been forgiven for your sin, are you always forgiven for your sin? Just wanted your thoughts on that.
Jessica, what does this verse sound like? Here is Galatians 5:4, and we could read many other passages, but this one says, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Does that sound like a Christian can fall from grace, or that it's impossible for them to fall from grace, Jessica?
I think it really just depends on how you interpret that, really, because I know people who probably aren't to that sense. That's why I wanted your opinion.
Well, this says that these people had fallen from grace. They had fallen from grace. So obviously, oh, of course, yes. We have to live faithful. So that's why Revelation 21, verse 8, when it says, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, if a Christian lies and doesn't repent of it, he's going to be lost. He's going to lose his salvation. He's a liar. Now, you can be forgiven. You can repent and be forgiven of being a liar, and then you won't end up at that bad place. But if you are a liar, even if you became a Christian at one point in your life, were born again, if you become a liar and refuse to repent of it, then this verse says, where you're going is the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. You lose your salvation. That pretty clear, Jessica?
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thanks for the call. And so by looking at these passages that talk about who's going to be in everlasting punishment, we learn what we should not be like. We should not be an idolater, a liar, a murderer, a fornicator, an unbeliever, a fearful. That's talking about spiritual cowardice. Because if we practice those sins, if we commit those sins and don't repent, then we'll end up being in this place. Number two, what's it going to be like there? In everlasting punishment. Again, the number to call is 877-655-6755. Well, Isaiah 33:14 describes it this way. Devouring fire, everlasting burnings. Matthew 3:12 says that the way it's going to be there is unquenchable fire. Matthew 8:12, outer darkness, weeping and gnashing of teeth. I think of it being there, being painful. You know how when you're in your pain, you maybe grind your teeth. I think that's what that's talking about. Matthew 13:49-15 says about it, furnace of fire. 2 Thessalonians 1:8 says flaming fire. Jude 6 says everlasting chains under darkness. This doesn't sound pleasant. It sounds like that if we don't live a faithful life to Christ, this is where we're going. And it's going to be fire, darkness, burning. You don't want to be in this terrible torment forever and ever. The song Amazing Grace, when we've been there 10,000 years, we've only just begun, that's talking about heaven. It will be the same for everlasting punishment. When you've been there 10,000 years, you've only just begun. And so whatever you have to do, make sure you're living faithful to Christ, to God, so that you don't end up at this place, because it's going to be a terrible torture and torment forever and ever. Boy, does that provide us motivation to serve the Lord. It's a negative motivation. Oscar from Missouri, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, the lady that just called in is questioning losing your salvation.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Oscar.
Well, I just think that... what I get out of it, it would be like Jesus died for our sins. He only died one time, you know, and And if you, like, she was asking for, you know, about if you kill. I mean, if a Christian would kill someone or murder someone, maybe they wasn't a Christian to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And, but, you know, I just think that Jesus died for our sins, and he only died one time, you know.
Yeah, but
I don't think you should lose your salvation.
Right, Oscar, you're right. Jesus only died one time, but what does that have to do with whether or not you can lose your salvation? Now, notice this verse. We already read Galatians 5:4. Look at Revelation 3:5. Jesus speaking here says, "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Now, Oscar, do you remember what the book of life is? It's referred to maybe 6 or 8 or 10 times in the Bible, the book of life. Do you know what that is, Oscar?
It's when I'm saved. When I accepted Jesus, he put my name down in the book of life.
You're right. When a person is saved, your name is put in the book of life. Now this says, Jesus speaking here says, if you overcome, and I think he's talking about overcoming temptation and or persecution, he says, I will not blot your name out of that book of life, which implies that if you don't overcome temptation / persecution, he will blot your name out. And so if he blots your name out, Oscar, that would mean you're still saved or you're not saved any longer.
But see, I deal with temptation every day. I sin every day, and Jesus paid the price on the cross for my sins every day. I'm a Christian. I am no different than anybody, than a lost person, except for the grace of God. He saved my soul. We all sin. We all fall short of the glory of God.
There's supposed to be a gigantic.
What gets me to heaven is Jesus died on that cross for me. He paid for my sin.
There's supposed to be a gigantic difference between a faithful Christian and one of the world.
Yes, right.
Now listen to this verse.
Yes, yes.
1 John chapter 1, verse 7 says, if we walk in the light as he in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Walking in the light means obeying God's will. This says, Oscar, if we walk in the light, the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. What does that say about somebody who does, a Christian who does not walk in the light, who does not live according to God's word?
Well, he's probably not a Christian.
No, it doesn't say that.
He's an actor. He's a hypocrite.
This is written to Christians. Written to Christians. It says in verse 9, if we confess our sins, talking to Christians, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That says that if a Christian does not confess his sins,
right,
he will not be forgiven. One last passage,
right,
Oscar.
Right.
In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 says, take heed, brethren, and this is according to verse 1, it's talking about holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Yeah, I've heard people say, well, if a person who's a Christian goes into sin, that proves he's not a Christian to begin with. But that doesn't match up with the Bible. This is talking to Christians, brethren, and it warns them against changing from belief to unbelief and departing from the living God. Do you see that, Oscar?
Right. Right.
So a Christian, a believer, a holy brother, a partaker of the heavenly calling, verse 1, in verse 12 of Hebrews 3, it's possible for him to go from being a believer to an unbeliever. That's a Christian. He's not a faithful Christian anymore. He departs from the living God. He loses his salvation. Thank you so much for your call, Oscar. So we've talked about everlasting punishment. Who's going to be there? What is it going to be like there? Oh, it's going to be terrible. You would never want to go there. Live a faithful life to God so you don't go there. And never use this excuse. I hear this excuse all the time. Well, everybody sins. And that's like an excuse. Since everybody sins, it's okay for me to sin. No, it's not okay for you to sin. God expects you to live a faithful life in obedience to His Word. Everybody sins is no excuse. The third thing I want to talk about in regard to everlasting punishment is the worst thing of all. The worst thing of all. How long will it last? You know, I think I could bear just about any amount of pain as long as I knew it was only temporary. But this concept shows that it's not going to be temporary. It's going to be everlasting. We've already read that from Matthew 25, verse 46. Everlasting punishment. Mark 9:43-44 says, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. You think that if you had a fire, the worm would die in that fire. And that's normally so. But in this case, what the point that Jesus is trying to get across is that though that you will be in fire, burning, hot, you will continue to exist. You will not cease to exist, so that that punishment, that torment, will go on forever and ever. You see that from a passage like Revelation 14:11. The smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest, day nor night. So it's the torment is going to go on forever and ever. And you can't, you know, sometimes when you're in pain, maybe you've got a headache, you feel like, well, if I can go to sleep, at least I won't have the pain while I'm asleep. No, with this pain that's going to be an everlasting punishment, there's going to be no rest day or night. You can't go to sleep and have the pain be absent for like 8 hours. Revelation 20:10, it says, they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And so this torment, this pain will be conscious, uninterrupted, no rest, never-ending punishment. As I said, that's the worst part about it. There'll be no end to it. You want to do whatever it takes to avoid this place, and that means you have to obey Christ in order to receive the salvation provided for by the death, the blood of Christ. God says that Jesus became the author of eternal salvation to them that obey Him. So Christ died for us, and to take advantage of it, we have to trust and obey, as the famous song says. Shauna from Texas, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Can I take you back just a moment ago? When I called you, we're not discussing this, condition of hell. We were talking about redemption, salvation versus acts. And I was confused a little bit. I don't want you to take this as if I think you should be able to live outside the Word of God or not walking in the Word of God. I think you, as a Christian, should definitely strive every day to do that. That should be your intent. But how do you reconcile from what I'm hearing you say with the fact that Jesus said, whosoever believeth in me shall not perish but have everlasting life? How do you reconcile that and where the Bible tells us that it is through grace alone we are saved, not works, with the viewpoint that you can lose your salvation if you're living outside the Word of God?
Well, now in John 3, the Bible says that whoever believes in Christ will be saved. In John 3:36, the last verse in that chapter, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abiding on him. So, Shauna, suppose then a Christian, a believer who is saved, then becomes an unbeliever. And we read about that Hebrews 3:12, that a brother could possibly change to unbelief and depart from the living God. John 3:36 then says that the wrath of God abideth on him. He's not going to be saved anymore. Is that what you mean by reconciling it, Shauna?
Of course, I agree that you would lose your salvation if you became an unbeliever. If you professed against Jesus or you maligned the Holy Spirit, any of that, yes. But from what I understand, the only unpardonable sin is whenever you blaspheme the Holy Spirit. So
right.
If that is the only unpardonable sin and you remain a believer, but we all go through periods, peaks and valleys in our Christian life where we're really good for a while and we backslide for a while and we ask forgiveness. I'm not Catholic, but I do have some Catholic friends. I work for the sisters' school. And so I've learned a lot about the Catholic faith, too. There's some parallels that I see. And one of my Catholic friends explained it to me in that, let's say you sinned, but you had not confessed that sin or you had not asked for forgiveness of that sin and the rapture came, then you would not be right with God. What do you think about that position?
Of course that's right, because we read in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And so if we don't confess our sins, we won't be forgiven. Peter told Simon the sorcerer, who had sinned, a Christian who had sinned, In Acts 8:22, he said, "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee." And so Simon was told to repent. The implication is then that if he didn't repent, he wouldn't be forgiven. So that's what that's what it's all about for a Christian. Yes, we do sin on occasion. We must repent of our sins. We must confess our sins in order to be forgiven. And if we refuse to do that, then we're going to be lost. Now, does that make sense, Shauna?
It does. I'm not trying to beat a dead horse. I'm just trying to understand. So if we inadvertently at the time sin, and we have yet to ask forgiveness for that, we haven't confessed that sin. Let's say we had been just a few minutes before the rapture, but we did something untoward which we have not confessed, and the rapture occurs. Are we damned?
You know, I would look at a passage like Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you." And then Matthew 5, verse 6, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." So the Bible teaches that true seekers will find the truth and obey the truth. And so they're not going to be caught in a position, a true seeker, where he sins accidentally and he doesn't have a chance to repent, because that would contradict this principle we see that if you seek, you will find. Bobby, we're running out of time. Go ahead, Bobby from Connecticut.
Yeah, I was just going to ask a question about the fruit of life, the way Jesus explains it, or God explains it in the beginning. If your soul is already everlasting life, it lives forever, what's the purpose of the fruit, unless that's just a metaphor?
What fruit? What verse are you talking about?
Like the living water, the fruit, like in Revelation, the fruit that you can eat from, that, you know, so you can live forever.
Okay. In the book of Revelation, you get that, the tree of life. When you get to heaven, you get the tree of life again becomes available to us and allows us to live forever. Another passage that teaches very strongly against once saved, always saved, is James 5, 19 and 20. Brethren, and it's talking about brethren, Christians, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. And so if we see another Christian err from the truth, it's our obligation to try to convert him back. If we do, we save his soul from death, which implies that if we're not successful in converting him back, his soul will die. He'll be lost. We're talking about a brother in Christ. He errs from the truth. We're not able to convert him back. His soul dies. He loses his salvation. My challenge regularly, and I say this sort of tongue-in-cheek, but I still make the challenge, you pick any random page in your Bible, and I'll find at least one verse on that page that proves that once saved, always saved is not true. As Christians, we're going to have to live right, else we're going to go to everlasting punishment just like any other sinner. We have to be faithful to God, and when we sin, we have to repent, else we're going to burn. All liars will be there, so we got to repent. Appreciate you listening tonight. Continue the discussion at BibleCrossfire@email.com.